The Columbia Workshop welcomes its friends from coast to coast to the broadcast of a comedy written especially for this program by James and Elizabeth Hart. Our show tonight is called Out of the Air, and it's based on an idea by Tommy White. The Columbia Workshop is happy to present in the role of Al DeVore, the American comedian, Hiram Sherman, now appearing on Broadway in The Tally Method. Out of the Air by James and Elizabeth Hart.
What's the matter?
Wake up. This is a public library, not a flop house. You can't sleep here.
Oh, I guess I must have dropped off.
Long as you're in the library, you've got to read. That's rules. Now pick up that book you've got in front of you if you want to stay.
Okay, I'll read. Wren, Sir Christopher, 1632 to 1723. Celebrated English architect. Savilian professor of astronomy at Oxford from 1661 to 1665. His entry into architecture came as the result of the Great Fire of London in 1666. St. Paul's Cathedral is his masterpiece.
Shh, will you...
The interior of the church consists of a three-aisled nave and choir of equal lengths, extending east and west from a great central space at the crossing. Porticos project north and south of the center of the building, and along...
Do you have to do that, mister?
What's biting on you?
The sound effects. Why don't you take them outside?
Say, who do you think you are? You pay rent here or something? What? Why is...
Al DeVore.
Francine Fair. Oh. Little Frankie. Baby, you look like a million.
This is certainly a great surprise. Whoever... Gee, Al, that's the first time I ever been thrown out of a library.
Ah, forget it. I can't even be griped to that louse in attendance. Seeing you again? You're a sight for sore eyes, Frankie.
Al, have you ever thought of me since... When we was...
It's been like carrying your picture around, baby. A picture of you just the way you looked the first time I saw you there at the Adelphi in Philly. Starting out your career in variety. The act was strictly NG, but you were sure something to look at in those tights and that drum major's coat.
Oh, I was just a kid.
And I was a headliner.
What?
Well, practically.
Oh.
Anyway, I had my own act. Al DeVore and his Comedy 4. Here was this chicken making her first tour of the circuit. And later on, after Harrisburg, Pittsburgh... Zanesville and Columbus.
It was at Terre Haute.
In Terre Haute. Yep. Frankie was going to be my little wife. But her act folded that same week.
You was to finish out your bookings and save your money so we could get married when you got back to New York.
But it didn't work out that way, did it?
No, because you've never been able to keep a hold of a dime any longer than you could hold your breath.
Well, the best laid schemes of mice and men gang afterglay and leave us naught but grief and pain for promised joy. Robert Burns, To a Mouse, Stanza 7.
What's that?
Oh, that's one of the things I read in the library, I guess. They keep popping into my head.
Don't try to change the subject of discussion. You got back to town, flat as a flounder. Had supper with me where I was staying in Canarsie with my sister and her husband. And that was the last I saw of you until right now.
Well, man's got his pride, Frankie. If I couldn't dress you in ermine, I wasn't going to insult you with skunk.
If you knew the riding I took from Ella and Fred about you fading out of the picture.
Your sister never liked me. But I'll say this for her. She was strictly big time as a cook.
Well, it's lucky for me she could cook. That's what's been taking care of us. She and Fred have started a tea room.
A tea room?
Vogel's Gypsy Tea Room. It's only just a few blocks from here. I work there.
Oh, kid, that's tough.
Huh?
Somebody like you that's been a variety artiste. Down to slinging hash in a gypsy tea room.
For your information, I'm a fortune teller. Reading tea leaves and working with cards and all the rest of it.
Well, I...
And don't you go saying it's not professional. I got a costume and billing on the menu.
Why, well, sure, it's professional.
That's what I come in the library for, to get some new ideas for my act. Say, what was you doing in there?
Me? Oh, I always been a great reader.
Go on. You never even seen the inside of a library or a book either when I knew you.
Well, I'll tell you. And I want you to keep this under your hat. I'm working on something pretty big.
Is that a fact?
Something that's so big it's going to make page one in Variety. This connection of mine, I don't want to mention any names... Why, he thinks it's terrific. Why, Frankie, he says...
Look, Al, that shine you got on your suit never came from sitting around the Waldorf Astoria.
Oh, what's the use? Never could put anything over on you anyhow. I'm so flat you couldn't pick me up with a vacuum cleaner. Haven't even had a club booking in 3 years.
Oh, that's awful, Al. Oh, honest, I didn't mean what I said about the suit. It looks swell.
Thanks, kid, but I know how it looks.
Where are you living?
In the library, mostly. I've been coming there just about every day for the last 3 years.
But, gee, I don't know why you should pick the library.
Because I wanted to stay out of the sun and the rain and the heat and the cold and... Well, because they'll let anybody stay there. Well, that is, they will as long as you just read something.
You mean they make you read?
Sure. That's what the library's for, reading. They got a rule that says you have to read to stay in there.
And you've been going in every day for 3 years? Well, what was you reading all that time?
Well, I started out on the encyclopedia, but I finished that more than a year ago.
From cover to cover? You've been through the whole encyclopedia?
From AAA to ZZZ.
Well, what was it you was reading out loud in there?
There's another big one like the encyclopedia, the International Dictionary of Biography. I'm down to the W's in it.
I don't know how you ever stood it. One thing sure is you can't go on like this.
Well, what's to do, Frankie? I'm over a barrel.
The first thing is you're coming back with me to Ella and Fred's tea room right now. I can fix you up with a meal, and, well, if you're willing to do a little work around the place, I'm sure we can find some place.
There's no use talking.
I want to tell you something, Ella. That's just about the best feed bag I ever tied on.
I never seen a horse feed any more.
always your little joke, huh? Well, you got a nice little place here. Where's all the customers?
The word must have got around we was having company. Anyhow, most of them stayed away, and the ones that did come beat it out early. Say, I wonder if that's some kind of a sign of the way it's going to be from now on.
Now, Ella, you know it's going to work out fine. Setting up that army cot in the kitchen won't bother anybody, and Al's going to be a big help to Fred.
Did I ask for help?
No, you didn't, Freddy boy. And that's because you're not the complaining type.
Would I pick a broken-down vaudeville actor if I did need help?
Well, that's something I've been kind of hesitating to speak to you about. But I guess I better let you know now so you won't be disappointed later on.
Yeah.
Can't make any promises about how long I'll be able to stick around here, because next week, the week after, I may be taking an act out on tour.
Oh, cut it out.
Variety's in for a big comeback, and the time's not far off either.
Listen to him. Vaudeville's in for a comeback. Say, Blowout, ain't you heard about it? Vaudeville's been deader than a hard-boiled egg for years.
What's the use of kidding yourself, Al? Ella's right. Outside of a few unit shows, there just ain't any vaudeville now.
Imagine, going to a vaudeville show when he can stay home and listen to the radio.
The radio? I'd like to get a hold of that guy that started radio. He's a murdering rat, that's what he is. He's the one that squeezed the last breath out of vaudeville.
See, you just said it yourself.
Said what?
That vaudeville's dead.
Don't you ever believe it.
He's even calling himself a liar.
This radio never was anything but a cheap novelty, and the people are catching on to it now. They want live entertainment, not a lot of noise coming out of a box. The whole thing will blow over inside of 6 months.
Oh, you just don't know radio, Al. Why, it's wonderful, honest. Why, there's everything you can think of coming over the radio. Why, you can... Say, what's the idea? Where are you going?
I'll sit over here at this table till you get back your right mind. Even if you did make only a part of a tour around the circuit, that ought to taught you what good entertainment's like.
Leave them stay over there, Frankie. And if you get as far as the door, don't stop them.
Hey, what are you ducking under the table for?
I was just picking a couple of pieces of paper up off the floor. Sure looks like you need somebody to keep the place clean around here.
There was two women sitting at that table before you come in. One of them drop a bill out of a purse.
Ella.
Well, getting back to radio, Frankie. I guess there's only one way to cure those screwy ideas of yours. How'd you like to see one of those broadcasts?
Oh, but Al, don't you know you need tickets to go to a broadcast? They won't let you just walk in.
Take a look at these, honey.
Ella, he has got tickets. For you, tell him. Oh, I'm just dying to see a broadcast of that show.
Get your coat on, Frankie. We just got time to make it if you hurry.
I won't be a minute, Al.
You see, this big connection of mine given to me this morning. Well, naturally, I didn't have any idea of punishing myself by sitting through a radio program. But just to show Frankie how wrong she is, and, well, to please the kid, I guess I might as well take her.
Okay, Al, let's get going.
Right, chicken. Well, so long, folks. See you later.
Oh, Al, I never... You know, Fred, there just must be something phony about him getting tickets for a show like you tell him.
I don't know, Ella. Maybe he has got some big connections.
I guess this is Nibs coming back to borrow a nickel car fare. I'll get it, Fred.
Okay.
All right.
I'm terribly sorry to bother you after you're closed, but I wonder if you found two tickets under one of the tables tonight.
Two tickets?
They were for that radio quiz, you tell them. I thought they might have dropped out of my purse while I was having dinner, so I took a chance by coming back to see if you found them.
The name is Mrs. Beidemeyer. Now, Mrs. Beidemeyer, you sure you understand the rules of you tell 'em? Remember, I ask you a question, and if you answer right, you get $5. But that's not all. After you answer your question, you get 30 seconds to tell what you know about the subject. And you get $5 more for every single fact you tell us. All right, here's your question. Why was Mother Eve a walking joke?
Huh? You mean Eve, like in the Bible?
Oh, for the love of Mike, lady. The answer is because she was made out of a rib. That chestnut just about dates back to Mother Eve, too.
The gentleman in the front row seems to want to show off what he knows. But that's all right, Mrs. Beidemeyer. I'm sure you would have figured out the answer for yourself. So here's your $5. And now, you tell him. You tell him about ribs.
Ribs. Well, there's a spare rib.
That's right, $5.
And let me see, a spare rib?
You?
Oh, I said that before, didn't I? Now, let me see.
A rib is one of the curved bones, articulated in pairs to the spine and vertebrae. And, ma'am, there are 12 on each.
Time's up, and here's your $10, Mrs. Beidemeyer, and thank you. And now that gentleman in the front row who knows so much, perhaps he'd like to come out and take a question. What about it, mister?
Why not?
Al,
not in this, please.
Step right up to the mic, mister. That's it. That's it. Now, here's your question. What one word could you use in talking about a bird, a young girl, and an architect?
Say, this is like a kindergarten. Wren.
That's right. Wren's the answer.
Wren, Sir Christopher, 1632 to 1723, celebrated English architect, professor of astronomy at Gresham College, London, from 1657 to 1661, when he became civilian professor of astronomy at Oxford. His entry into architecture came as a result of the Great Fire of London in 1666. St. Paul's Cathedral is his masterpiece. The interior of this church consists of a three-aisle nave.
$195.
Oh, Al, you were wonderful. Just wonderful.
Look, are there many of those things on the radio, Frankie?
Quizzes? Why, there must be three or four of them on every night. And they have them all times of the day, too.
Honey, I just found myself a career. Right out of the air. That ain't a public library I've been hanging around. It's a gold mine. Why, if I had any idea it was as easy as that, I'd have been there all the time.
Well, greetings to you all, folks. Greetings. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, this is little Jack Horner's Question Pie. And here's our first contestant, Mr. Al DeVore. All right, Mr. DeVore, stick in your thumb and pull out your plum from our great big question pie. Mr. DeVore, you've drawn the biggest plum in the pie, our $500 question. Oh, it's a killer diller, though, I warn you. Well, here it comes. Who were the Guelphs and Ghibellines?
The selection of Conrad of Hohenstaufen as Holy Roman Emperor by the Diet of Mayence was bitterly contested by Henry the Superb, Duke of Bavaria and Saxony, in an altercation in which Henry's followers took the name of Guelphs after the family name of Welf, and Conrad's adherents were called Ghibellines because their leader...
Here we go, Mr. DeVore. Right or wrong, the following is a quotation from Shakespeare. Music hath charms to soothe the savage breast. Right or wrong?
Wrong! It's by the Restoration dramatist William Congreve and occurs in The Morning Bride, Act 1, Scene 1.
Amazing, Mr. DeVore. And here's your prize of $100.
The final score, ladies and gentlemen. Here are the final scores of tonight's tug-of-wit. Mrs. Harriet Granners, 40 points. Mr. Ray Camport, 48 points. Miss Thalia Olbert, 92 points. And in first place, winner of the Grand Sweepstakes with 5,127 points, Mr. Al DeVore. Congratulations, Mr. DeVore. You have smashed every known record on the tug-of-wit.
$300!
$500!
$800!
$1,000!
$1,240!
Well, thanks a lot for the interview, Mr. DeVore. It was swell of you to give me all that time. I know how busy you are.
Always glad to spare a few minutes for the press.
Did you ring, sir?
Yes, Gherkin. The gentleman's leaving. Will you show him out?
Very good, sir. This way, sir. Now, will there be something else, sir?
Well, how's the schedule look, Gherkin?
Well, sir, there's an afternoon quiz in Washington tomorrow, an early evening one in Philadelphia, and then back to New York for the 10 o'clock show. I've attended to the plane reservations.
Pretty light day.
And the following day, there are the usual interviews and the posing for the picture magazines. And, yes, there's an appointment with a publisher's representative who wishes to see you about a preface he wants you to write for a new edition of Mortimer Adler's How to Read a Book. Are you in, sir?
No, I'm out. Don't care if it's Walter Winchell.
Very good.
Out of my way, Flumpy. Say, what's the idea of telling that big gorilla to say you're not in?
Frankie, come right in, kiddo.
Fine thing. I have to fight my way in to see you. Well, where have you been?
Where have I been? What do you mean, where have I been?
I ain't seen you. What's the matter, taking another run out?
Look, baby, look me in the eyes. You can see there's not anything or anybody I care about but you.
Then why don't you do something about it?
Do something?
You never think of that, do you? You never think of us getting married.
Honey, that's all I do think about.
Al, I want to ask you something, and you've got to answer the truth.
Well, sure I will.
How much money have you got saved up?
Well, you see, sweetie, I've been under a lot of expense. The new car, renting this place, buying the furniture.
Is all that stuff paid for?
Oh, not exactly. Of course, there's good down payments made on all of it.
I knew it. You're just throwing your money away again. Oh, Al, why can't you put some of it away? This ain't going to last, and then you're going to be broke again. We'll never be able to get married.
What would you say if I told you I was trying to line up a steady job?
Are you? Honest?
And if it goes through, we're throwing a great big dinner party here the next night to celebrate our engagement.
Oh, you wouldn't kid me about something like that.
Kid you? Frankie, baby, I can't hardly wait. Now, remember, the night after I come through my tryout, we're having the party, dinner with all the fixings right here.
Oh, gee, I never knew I could be so happy. What's the job, darling?
It's the snootiest quiz on the air. I tell you, you can listen in on my tryout. Well, half the world will be tuned in. You might just as well be among them.
Ladies and gentlemen.
You can listen in on my tryout. Well, half the world will be tuned in. You might just as well be among them.
Ladies and gentlemen, tonight history has been made. For the first time in its career on the air, Stump the Extrovert has lost no money and no 99-volume sets of the Home Air Edition library. Credit for our 100% batting average goes to one man, our guest extrovert of the evening, Mr. Al DeVore.
Oh, Al.
The amazing Mr. DeVore answered each and every question asked during the broadcast and answered them all correctly, in most cases before the other gentlemen could get their hands up. This is a feat that has never been accomplished before in the many months.
Hi there, sweetie.
Al.
Well, I got here sooner, but I was held up outside the studio by a mob after my autograph. Hi, Ellen. Hi, Fred boy. How's every little thing?
Tell me quick, Al. Did you get it?
Get what, girlie?
The job. The job being an extrovert.
Oh, that.
Yeah, that. Do they want you or don't they?
You got the question twisted, Ella. It's do I want them? The fellow from the advertising agency said they'd have a contract run up by Monday. I told him I'd send my lawyer around to look it over.
Sweetheart. Oh, Al.
He says there's just one condition they'll insist on.
What's that?
I got a promise not to answer more than half the questions.
Oh.
That's okay with me. I don't want to make them other boys look bad. You know, they're nice fellows.
Oh, I got to pinch myself to know I'm not dreaming all this. Frankie tells us wedding bells will soon be ringing. Congratulations.
You're getting a fine little wife, Aunt Frankie.
I'm getting myself the sweetest flower of womanhood that ever bloomed.
Hey, look at Frankie blush. It's the first time I've seen her blush.
To the nuptial bower I led her, blushing like the morn.
Al, beaming.
That's from Paradise Lost, babes. Classic.
Come on, Fred. We let the lovebirds have a little privacy. Good night, Al.
Good night, Ella.
Oh, and thanks for including us on your guest list.
Huh?
See you tomorrow evening.
Say, what is this, anyhow?
I asked him to the engagement dinner, Al. I didn't think you'd mind.
The engagement dinner? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, sure.
You hadn't forgotten about it, had you?
No, of course not.
Then why are you looking so funny?
Oh, you're imagining things. It was tomorrow night we was going to have it?
You know darn well it was. You said the night after you landed
well,
this job...
I know, Frankie, but tomorrow night seems awful short notice for our guests. Besides, I don't want this to be just any affair. I want it to have class. Now, if we put it off till Monday...
You're sure it's not me you want to put off?
Baby, you know better than to let such a thought even cross your mind. It's just that... Well, the truth is, I got something else on the fire for tomorrow night. Well, strictly business, you understand?
Yeah.
Is this quiz reward or punishment?
Oh, is that all? Well, you can just tell them you got a previous engagement.
Which is
true. When we planned the dinner, you didn't have nothing to do Saturday night, and you promised you'd keep it free.
And I would have, too, only
that... You don't have to do any more one-night stands on the small time now, honey.
The show's not small time, Frankie. It's got one of the highest crawls.
I don't care if it's got the Pulitzer Prize. You promised just as soon as you got taken on Stump the Extroverts, you'd cut out all the others.
This is positively my farewell appearance as a guest artist. You see, this reward of punishment is the only coast-to-coast quiz I haven't been on. They'll feel kind of hurt about it. If I was to pass them up, it'd be a knock for the show.
I never asked many favors of you, did I, Al?
No, I guess you didn't.
Then do one now. Give up that quiz tomorrow. Just because I want you to.
Oh, be reasonable, kid. We can throw every bit as good a party on Monday night.
It won't seem as good to me.
Oh, for... Don't you understand? I promise.
Just for once, I'd like you to keep a promise you make me, Al.
Look, Frankie, you gotta realize I'm a public figure now. Think of all the people I'd disappoint if I didn't show up. The sponsors, the MC... The studio audience. The newsreel men. They'll be there, too.
I see.
Ha! I knew you would be. You got too much on the ball to be
would
a wet
blanket.
Would
you mind getting off now?
How's that?
I said, would you mind scramming? Well, do I have to put it in sign language?
Honey, do you feel sick or something?
I'm sick, all right. Sick of you and sick of myself for being a sap so long. Oh, I was crazy to ever think you loved me. There's only one person in the world you love, and he's in your looking glass.
Now, listen here.
No, you do the listening. Oh, I know it burns you to hear the sound of any human voice except your own. But I want you to know we're through for keeps. I want you to know if you'd done like any other man would have and bought me an engagement ring, I'd throw it in your face right now.
Frankie, for the love of...
You're nothing but a big swollen-headed show-off, a bag of wind. Someday they're going to ask you a question on one of your quizzes. It takes common sense to answer, and you'll be sunk. I hope that time comes soon. I hope it comes tomorrow night.
Ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome you to our thrilling riot of fun, reward or punishment. And now I'm going to bring to the microphone our special guest of the evening, a man whose name and fame is known to you all. Ladies and gentlemen, may I present that phenomenon of the quiz world, that mastermind of the airwaves, that living, breathing encyclopedia, Mr. Al DeVore.
Thanks, Jake. That was quite a build-up.
It was understatement, Al, understatement. Well, I suppose you know the rules of our little game.
Sure. Answer right and you get the moolah. Answer wrong, you get the word.
Ah, that's it. And here's your question. No, this is hardly your speed, Al. Almost anybody could guess it. I better draw another one for you.
Oh, no, let's have the pianola. My little gray cells feel sort of tired tonight.
Oh, you'll never get me to believe that, Al. Well, all right, but you're going to feel insulted. Here it is. There are three things every man on a salary should do. There's something he should draw up, something he should open up, and something he should take out.
Draw, open, and take.
What are those three things, reward or punishment?
You mind repeating again?
Something he should draw up, something he should open up, and something he should take out.
Oh, something he should draw up.
Mm-hmm.
Draw. Oh, an artist, maybe. Van Gogh?
He's a man on a salary, remember. He has to live within his income.
Huh?
So he draws up a... No, help from the audience, please.
Draws up... it's right on the tip of my tongue.
Well, what's the nickname for a younger brother?
Junior. Kid, Bud.
Bud. That's right. Go on.
Bud. Draws up a Bud. Draws up...
He draws it up and he also balances it, if he can.
That sounds like a juggling act.
Uh-oh, I'm sorry, Al. The thing he should draw up is a budget. The thing he should open up, and you didn't get that far, is a savings account. The thing he should take out is an insurance policy.
Oh.
You ready for your punishment? I think you'll agree it's a very appropriate one. You see this penny?
Yeah.
You're going to know it awfully well before you get through. Now, look. I want you to push that penny right up the center aisle of the theater with your nose from the first row of seats to the left. And just to make sure you get plenty of exercise, we'll blindfold you. Go on, here you are.
Listen to what Witzel says about Al, Frankie.
I already read it.
Oh, Rich, ain't it?
I think it's mean the way the papers go on right now. 3 days now since he flopped on that quiz show. Why don't they lay off? Why don't they forget him?
Don't you worry. They'll forget him, all right. They and everybody else, including you, thank the Lord. Say, you gave that phony the air just in time, sis. Say, what you putting on your hat for, Frankie? Where you going? Say, don't tell me you're going.
Frankie.
Hello, Al. I was in the neighborhood, so I thought I'd drop by for a sec.
I'm glad you did. Here, let me take your coat. It's Gherkin's night off, so I'm acting as my own butler.
I thought Gherkin had Friday nights off.
Yeah, he asked me to change it. Well, you look swell, Frankie. You want to sit down?
I don't see anything to sit on.
Oh, I forgot. Well, the furniture's all at the interior decorator's. It's been fixed over more modern style.
Don't, Al.
Don't what?
You don't have to, you know, with me.
Well, if we're going to play riddles... Oh, what's the use? The installment people took back the furniture this morning. I let Gherkin go this afternoon. I'm expecting the landlord this evening to say, put up or get out.
Never mind, though, honey. When you get your first salary check from Stump the Extrovert, you can get back the furniture and Gherkin.
It's not going to be a first salary check.
Huh?
Or any other kind. They called me up the day after I made my flop and said they changed their mind.
Why, the dirty...
No, they ain't. What was the ritziest quiz on the air one with a guy the whole town's laughing at? A clown that don't even know what a budget is.
Well, any artistic type might have missed that. Why...
You're being sweet, baby, but you were a lot closer to the truth when you said the first question that took common sense to answer... would sink me.
Oh, I didn't mean any of that, Al. I was sore and hurt.
Which you had every right to be. I've been strictly lousy to you, Frankie, but honestly, it wasn't because I don't love you. It was because I'm just what you said. Swollen-headed show-off that never did amount to anything, never will.
I didn't say any such thing, and it's not true. You amount to plenty right now, Al DeVore. You're still a human encyclopedia, ain't you? You can make a comeback that'll have him rolling in the aisle.
Don't talk about rolling in the aisle.
Oh, I'm sorry, honey. I didn't mean anything. I was just using show talk. Look, darling, you got to forget about the other night.
I'll never forget it, Frankie. You talk about making a comeback. I could never get up on a stage and answer a question again. I'd hear that awful laughing. And I wouldn't be able to even open my mouth.
Oh, you just think that now because...
No, I know it. I tried to go to a quiz this afternoon. A little one nobody ever heard of over in Jersey.
Yeah?
Well, I got as far as the studio door, and then it hit me. Frankie? So help me. I couldn't have gone through that door if somebody had been poking me in the back with a gun.
Oh, it won't be like that next time, Al.
It'll always be like that. I read once how this famous aviator was in a plane wreck. And after that, he tried and he tried, but he couldn't ever fly a plane again. Well, that's me.
I seen the same thing in a movie, but it all turned out happy in the end.
This is life, kid. The best thing you can do is forget you ever knew this old has-been.
You don't think I'd ever give you up just because...
Well, that's probably the phone company to say they're cutting off the service. Hello.
Is this Mr. Al DeVore speaking?
Check.
Mr. DeVore, I bring news. Tonight, the finger of fortune is lighted upon you.
That's no news, pal. Get a load of this nut, Frank.
You heard our broadcast, then?
I don't even own a radio. What is this?
$40,000 in cash, Mr. DeVore, or $200 a month for life, whichever you prefer.
Al. Allie's on the level. It's the finger of fortune prize. You won it. Say something to him. Say something, you dope.
Well, hello there.
Which do you choose, Mr. DeVore? The cash
Give
or...
Give me that phone, Al. We'll take the $200 a month, please.
Who was that?
That was my future manager.
You have just heard the Columbia Workshop presentation of a comedy by James and Elizabeth Hart called Out of the Air. It was based on an idea by Tommy White, and Hiram Sherman was featured as Al DeVore. Betty Gard played Frankie. Others in the cast were Don Briggs, Ed Latimer, Ethel Ramey, Adele Ronson, Ralph Dumke, Louis Van Ruten, Dean Carlton, John Gibson, and John Kane. The director of the workshop broadcast was Mark Sloab. Next Sunday at the same time, George Zachary will direct a most unusual broadcast of two famous poems. The first is The Congo of Vachel Lindsay and a special rhythmic treatment for soloist and speaking chorus by Catherine Lane Anderson with original music by Leonard DePauw. Lynn Murray has done the scoring and will conduct. The Juanita Hall singers will appear both in The Congo and in the second work on the program, which is The Creation by James Weldon Johnson from his famous volume of Negro sermons and verse called God's Trombones. This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.